You are listening or watching Real Conversations with Jacob Young. Real Conversations is sponsored by Boys Town. Boys Town's been saving children, healing families for over 100 years. Please go to boystown.org to see how you can help the girls and boys of Boys Town. And while you're there, make sure you check out all the free parenting tips that they offer. Now, my guest this week is a multifaceted funny man. He's an actor, writer, and a producer who's known for his successful films like Vampires Are Real and the sequel Vampires Are Real 2. And we'll have to ask him how he came up with the title for that sequel. His scripts and Instagram videos have not only entertained millions of people, but have generated over $100 million. I'm going to ask him for a loan after this podcast. As you can tell, I always get a little silly when I'm around him. And we've been working together for many years now. For anyone who's seen a Mr. Cool DIY infomercial, you know him as Hilarious Sweaty Bob, playing beside my Mr. Cool in the long-running series of commercials. And we're going to be working together again on his newest film, which we'll be talking about. So get ready to laugh with my guest, J.R. Timothy. You know what time it is. It's time to keep it real with Real Conversations with Jacob Young. J.R.
No, stop it. All of you. Stop it. All of no, stop it. Stop. Oh my gosh. It's too much. It's too much. Sorry. I don't know if you can see. There's a crowd of people in the room right now cheering.
Absolutely, man. It's been long overdue to have you on the podcast.
Yeah. I was going to say, I was like, man, when's Jacob going to talk to me? He's like 1,000 episodes in. And like, I haven't even gotten a call yet.
No, it's been, you live in different states, and I don't know, it just, now you're like not too far from me and you're on my mind. So I was like, you know, I got to get JR on there. Plus we got this cool film coming up.
Yeah, I kid. I love you though. I'll be wherever you want me to be, Jacob.
Well, man, let's get right into it. Cause you're not only a witty guy, but you're a great physical comedian. You've done more stunts in your career than Tom Cruise.
Tom actually took a lot of notes from me about how he should play the Mission Impossible thing. I'm like, you know, you should really go for like the humorous gag of jumping off the building and missing it. And he did, and he broke his ankle. I'm like, well,
yeah,
that's why you let the professionals do it.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, I remember watching it. I'm going, isn't he getting a little too old to be doing all that crazy stuff?
Right? But he's still going. Man, Tom Cruise is pro. Yeah. I'm like dropping the bit now. No, Tom Cruise is great.
Yeah, no, he totally is.
He hears that and like thinks I was being serious. Please, I'm not serious at all.
Well, what are some of the craziest stunts that you've done on screen for some laughs?
Well, the most recent one was the last Mr. Cool commercial that we did. That was the wires. So at the end of the commercial and at the beginning, I'm like flying through this grass field that they got from like a Burberry commercial idea. But they hooked me up to a harness and they started swinging me around through the air on this giant crane. Sorry, I think I had a dog hair. My bad. but they were swinging me through the air on a crane. And like, I didn't know as the stunt person to have one arm in front of the wire and one arm behind the wire. So that, like, you know, you can kind of brace yourself because when they rig you up, it's kind of like suspenders or something like that, except one arm's, like, in front of the suspender. And that's supposed to help keep you, like, upright so that you don't topple over because it's just a diaper that you're wearing, basically. But yep. The first take that we do, they want me to, like, pump my arms and run. I'm like, yeah, I got this. And so I started, like, pumping my arms to run. Like, I'm getting ready to take off with a jetpack on my back. And so I start going and I'm running. And then the second my feet lift off the ground, because I wanted to pump my arms, I put both of them in front of the wire. And immediately, as soon as I went in the air, I was just,
whoop. Started tipping forward.
Hung upside down for like 30 feet while he just like swung me through the air.
Yeah. Well, and the cinematographer, our friend Luke, he was also hanging.
Yeah, he was hanging too. Luke was a trooper. So he gets motion sickness really bad. And, you know, if you're just swinging through the air and you're able to look out at the vast expanse of where we are, you could definitely, like, you know, your motion sickness can be somewhat abated. But for Luke, he's like, holding this camera super close to his face, looking on this tiny screen. So by the time we were doing like the seventh and eighth take, he was just like,
he's on the vomit train,
swinging for a couple hours.
Yeah. No, it was a cool shot. The effect worked perfectly.
Yeah. They made it look really good. I'm always curious with the VFX people, how they can like take out the wires, but they literally just go frame by frame and just cut it out and fill it in.
When you were a kid, you know, because, you know, comedy is kind of it's an interesting thing and not everybody's good at it. But I've also known people that I've talked to that had used comedy in their lives sort of as a coping mechanism in their childhood. How was comedy in your life? Did you use it as a coping mechanism, or was it just something that just naturally happened?
That's a good question. I think in the beginning it might have been a mechanism because I liked getting attention, but I think everyone's a little narcissistic deep down inside. But I found that like when I was funny, I got attention as a kid and I had a lot of energy and my parents didn't really know what to do with me. And so they thought like, let's put him in like an acting theater summer camp kind of thing. And they would like, we were in like South Central Phoenix in the ghetto. So they like took me to this weird place and, that just like housed kids and kids like did acting stuff. And that was when I was like, oh, this is really fun. It's like play and make believe. And I was like 9 or something like that. So I started doing that and I was like, I like being the funny guy. Being the funny guy is fun. And then got into high school, went through my emo phase, was like, no, I'm a serious actor, serious dramatic stuff. And then after high school, I was like, no, I just like making people laugh way more. I just like people laughing. So I guess in the beginning, yeah, it was a coping mechanism to kind of like find who I was. And it kind of led me down this path that I was like, oh, this is really fun. It's entertaining for me and people, and I enjoy doing it.
What do you think of the physical and mental benefits of laughter?
Oh, it's without a doubt. I'm not a doctor, but like, you know, I think laughter can cure diseases sometimes. I think having that positive disposition when you're going through tough things definitely helps in a healing process. I mean, it's not always, but like, you know, even if it like doesn't like fix any like ailments that someone might have, it at least helps you feel better and helps you cope with whatever you may be going through right now. Even if it's just like watching a comedy movie and you get like an hour and a half respite of, you know, whatever you're dealing with, whatever issues you're facing. It's like Patch Adams, Robin Williams movie.
Patch Adams.
He was a doctor that made people laugh.
Yeah. I mean, they say laughter is the best medicine. And I got to say, like, if I'm feeling down and I see like even a funny little video clip or something like that, like immediately, like, you know, you brighten up a little bit, you know, you get that, it's like a dopamine release or something in your frontal lobe and suddenly you feel good.
Yeah. That's why everyone loves TikTok right now. You just watch these short little funny videos like, oh my gosh, I love this. They send it to their friends. So everyone's like just consuming these funny little short scenes.
Yeah. Speaking of TikTok, you've got quite the following on TikTok. If you guys are interested in following JR, it's at jrtimothy.comedygenius. You can see it here on the screen as well. If you watch this interview right there. I was looking at it today. You've had like over how many millions of likes or million likes?
I think it's up to, I think it's over 3 million likes.
Yeah.
And like 80, I really haven't been focused on my TikTok as of late because I've just been so busy with other things. And TikTok goes to these weird algorithm things. And so I got the algorithm blues and I'm like, well, these funny videos I'm posting, I'm just like, just going to make them for me now. And I'm going to focus on doing other stuff. But
let's talk about that other stuff. What's news?
So Uranus attacks. That is the thing I am most excited about right now. There's other things going on, but Uranus attacks is the number one thing for me. And it's like, it's going to be such an awesome movie. Like just going through the script, I'm still going through and polishing the last couple things, but I'm like, oh, this is so good. Like, this must be like what Steven Spielberg felt like when he majored. No, not at all.
What do you think is the most stressful part about getting ready to do a shoot?
Oh, the logistics of it. When I did movies like Vampires Are Real, I realized I only had enough time to film an entire feature film in a day. So we threw the script out the door, just came up with bullet points, and we improvised the whole thing. And when you do it in a day and you keep your locations limited, it's very doable to make an entire feature film. But with Uranus Attacks, we had budget to extend the shoot longer. So it's 5 days of filming. It's this very large ensemble cast that kind of span the country right now. We have you and a few others coming from the East Coast. We have a lot of people coming from Utah, and we're all converging on Missouri. We have some local Missourians in on the project too, but just coordinating people's schedules.
Yeah.
That's the hardest part in my mind, because it's just so much stuff and it's attainable. It's doable, but it's like just this really long, tedious checklist, especially booking flights, get person's birth date, full name, all that stuff going through.
Yeah. Logistics for sure. Now, I mean, going back to Vampires Are Real, I mean, most people would say that's crazy to try to shoot a movie in one day. I mean, like, practically unheard of. It's a full length feature, right?
Yeah, it's a full length feature that got distribution, which still kind of blows me away. It told me that distribution companies are so hungry for content that they will almost take anything as long as it sounds good and it looks decent.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for future filmmakers out there, keep that in mind. It's not as hard to get distribution as you might think. It's just important to find where the distribution companies are and whether or not they pay you and like dealing stuff. Like that's a whole other like business side, but you can get distribution for your movie. It just takes a few emails and just talking to people, and you know, you can get your movie on Amazon Prime or Vudu, Xbox, Google Play. I'm trying to think, some cruises and hotels, I think the movie's in. I filmed the movie in a day because that's all I had time for. That's because my friends just kind of loaned their time to me. And I'm like, we're going to make something funny and we'll just do it in a day. That's it. Just give me a day. And so we all came together and it was just me and my other buddy and Josh Miller, who's directing Uranus Attacks. Basically just let the camera run the whole time, and me and him just improvised for like 30 minutes in each scene and spliced the footage that we needed from it.
Wow. Well, that is great advice. You know, I run a film course. It's a pilot program right now, and we're in week 10, and there's always some great advice that some of the mentors are giving. We just had David Janilari on yesterday. He started with Fox at a young age with The Simpsons in Living Color, then went on to be one of the main creators of Friends, and he created 6 Feet Under. He's Golden Globe winner, Emmy Award winner.
I remember that show now. Sorry, it clicked now. You said 6 Feet Under.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great show.
Yeah, it was a great show. And he talked a lot about like just, you know, getting your start and getting out there, whether it's just picking up a cell phone and start making videos. And I think that's some of the best advice you can give young entrepreneurs that want to be filmmakers.
Oh, absolutely. It's way more important to just get out there and make whatever it is that you're thinking of. And especially like your first movie is going to be bad. It's going to be bad. So like just go make your first bad movie and then learn from it after that. You'll learn, you'll get better the more you do it. So with filmmakers, like they try to write in like, it always comes down to the script too. They always try to write like it's a dark, stormy night in a post-apocalyptic world. It's like, no, it's not. It's a bright, sunny day in someone's living room.
Yeah.
That's the movie you should write first.
Yeah. Well, see, in this program, the kids have written short screenplays. And
oh, that's so cool.
And so, you know, some of them are like, they're really good, you know, but they're also like, you know, heroes on another planet, like superheroes and things like that. I'm like, well, we got to try to stay within the budget here. But I told the most of the kids that
green screen, there's those movies. Oh, what was it? Kung Fu Fury or something. It's like a YouTube movie where they did this entire action movie on a green screen that looks like really cheesy. Yeah. So, I mean, you could do stuff like that, but that's some intense VFX work.
Well, the great thing is we have the whole support of the city, Hampton, Virginia, and I just had an amazing conversation with the Virginia Commission, Film Commission, and they're donating a grip truck, they're donating drones. I've got Roy Wagner, who's 2-time Emmy Award-winning DP. He's a cinematographer. He's going to come out, let these kids shadow him. So it's a really cool, you know, opportunity for these kids. And I don't want to, like, that say cool. that we can't do something. So I'm trying to, you know, make sure that we fulfill every part of those scripts if we possibly can.
Yeah, that's really cool. That's a sweet program. I wish I had that in high school.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's a really cool schools. When they're in junior high and they're getting ready to go into high school, they get to choose like what pathway they want to pursue those 4 years, like whether it's media, whether it's graphic arts, judicial, hospitality, you know, nursing, whatever it is. And all the different schools, they focus on different programs. So they get to go to one of four of these high schools. And these are big high schools. But they're always open to doing something that's different. And I started thinking about it, you know, when you're getting into film or television, you really just need the hands-on experience. I know you went to film school. But
no, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't? I thought you...
I did go to college, but I went to college for communications.
Oh, okay. Well, I had my facts wrong. You went to BYU, which is a film school.
I went to BYUI, which is like kind of like the redheaded stepchild of the BYU schools. They kind of have a film... Like, they have cameras up there. They have like video production stuff. But it's not really like a film school. BYU in Utah, they got a film program.
Yeah.
But yeah, whether you go to film school or get hands-on experience, it all comes down to like that hands-on experience that you're providing. That's the most valuable education, is just like being on set, watching real professionals work, and just practicing yourself to see how the camera works, how to set up the shots, how to plan your day. Shot lists, organizing crafty so that actors don't get antsy.
Yeah, no, it's true. Getting the hands-on experience is everything. And most of these kids are going to go into vocational programs. Maybe some of them will go to secondary schools, you know, colleges and whatnot. But that's really, you know, film sets, you know, you don't have to have a degree to start working on it. You just got to have the will and the determination. Let me ask you, because we were just talking about superheroes, if you had a superpower, what would it be?
Oh, I feel like it changes every year. it always kind of comes down. It would either be like flight or teleportation. It's kind of like one of the two.
Yeah.
Especially with like all the flying that I've been doing lately at airports, man, teleportation would be pretty nice.
Tell me about it, man. You know, the process of going through airports anymore. I mean, I wish I was like alive in the days when like flying was like a real luxury. But then they were smoking on planes, which yeah. I don't think that would have been very fun.
I was going to say, it's like they were like hotboxing everyone on the planes.
Yeah. But, you know, but like to me, it's just such a pain and I fly all the time. But, you know, if you're going to travel anywhere, it's the quickest way, man. But it's a kind of a pain in the butt.
Definitely.
We've been a comedy team for the Mr. Cool DIY, like I mentioned at the beginning of the show here, the commercials, which everyone should check out if you want a good laugh or if you need a do-it-yourself air conditioner. We're going to be working together on our new movie, as you know. How did you come up with the idea for the new film, Uranus Attacks? Yeah.
Oh, man, it's an amalgam of a bunch of different things that I love. Like, and that's why I'm so excited for Uranus Attacks. Louis Keen, who's the mayor of Uranus, which is a real place called the Uranus Fudge Factory. You can Google that. And one of the top three videos you'll see is like my face wearing lederhosen. But yeah, it's a Uranus Fudge Factory. So it's based on a real place, a real quirky place off Route 66. And, I grew up watching movies like Goonies and Gremlins and Tremors. Like, I love those old B monster movies. Like, they're not meant to like be this like mind-blowing, like realistic look of something that you would see in like a Quiet Place or something like that. Mm-hmm. These were like real special effects in the room with you to make the monster just look cool. And so I wanted to make something like that. And our villain of the movie is a slug that invades your mind and takes over people. And I got that idea from the Animorph books that I read growing up, which is like a whole alien invasion book series, which is awesome, about kids like turning into animals. That part's not in the movie, but the slug would crawl in the ear and take over the brain in the books. So I came up with this idea of like a really crazy looking slug to take over people's minds in a new, unique way that'll be revealed in the movie. And then also just kind of like capturing the vibes of movies like Goonies and Gremlins and Tremors and the movie Slither, another movie called Crazies, which like some of these are like really like hardcore R movies. So I don't recommend everything, but I took all of my favorite parts of that and I wanted to make a movie that I would have loved as a kid. And that's what this is. Uranus Talks, it's a kid movie that builds off all the things that I watched growing up that like stuck with me forever. Like we have this musician who is making a soundtrack for us for the movie. And he like, I like headhunted him. He's like perfectly specialized to make songs for this type of movie. Like he's just perfect for it. And then it was the same thing with the cast. I found cast members that I was like, you fit this archetype so well, and it will just balance out so well with everything. And it's going to end up becoming, in my mind, this beautiful mosaic of just all these awesome pieces that no matter where you look at in the movie or what you focus on, you will find something that you thoroughly enjoy with it, whether it's the music or really goofy characters or really serious aliens or just fun comedy all around. And, you know, kids will be able to watch it, which is the other important part, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's a funny script.
It is. It's so funny. We did the table read, and it was so much – it was so fun for me as the script writer to hear the jokes being said back and people laughing. I was like, oh, good. It works.
Speaking of that, you wear several hats in your career as a writer, actor, producer. Which one of your talents do you find the most fulfilling?
Most fulfilling? I think the writing one is really fulfilling. Like whenever I get to like write a really good script, of course I love acting in front of the camera. That's fun. I think that's the more fun job of everything for me. 'Cause whenever I'm in front of the camera, I'm just being goofy. I'm just playing around and you know, that's always fun, to do. But I think writing and like putting the words down and really planning out the shot of how it's supposed to look and the beats that'll hit there and then leaving room to let the actors have fun inside of that. 'Cause I will always write like little ad lib moments here. Like actor can ad lib here, say whatever they want, if they want to say anything. And then just like, I think, right. Yeah. So writing's the most fulfilling thing. Long. I'm starting to get long and rambling there.
No, but it's great.
Yeah. Creating the world for the actors to play in and then watching them play in it is really, it's really fun.
Do you think a person could be taught to be funny, or is it a trait that you either have or you don't?
I think people can learn to be funny. It's not an easy thing to learn, though. And it's not a, there's not one way to learn how to be funny, because comedy is such a nuanced thing that, you know, one person, like I could give you a line to say and it would be really funny coming from you. But if I tried to say a line in the same way that you said it, in the same delivery, it wouldn't work. Because one line coming out of your mouth, one line coming out of my mouth, they're very different things. So that, I mean, like, that's what I mean by the nuance of it. And I think people who want to get into comedy just need to watch all of the comedians that they love. Like, for me, it's sad to say, Bill Cosby was like my first exposure to stand-up comedy. I watched one of his movies and oh my gosh, it was so funny. And then after that, I like looked at Richard Pryor and then I looked at George Carlin and I was way too young for those guys. And I was like, yeah. Oh wow, these comedians say a lot of things.
They say a lot of, yeah, but funny. You know,
but funny. Brian Regan, though, was the one that really got me going. And ironically enough, Brian Regan did the Mr. Cool commercial with us. And what's really funny about it is that my Sweaty Bob character was based off of Brian Regan isms that I watched as a teenager. So I'm like, oh, yeah, Sweaty Bob, yeah. Oh, my gosh, okay, yeah. You know, it's just like kind of dumb Brian Regan, but without the anger.
Yeah, yeah.
So when he came to set and, you know, he was doing that and I got to be Sweaty Bob in front of him, it was like childhood dream come true. I was like, oh, wow. Yeah. And he's like directing me from behind the camera. He's like, hey, say the line like this. And I'm like, okay, I'll do that. It was cool.
That was cool. Brian was on the podcast as well. And it wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for you and your vision.
It was so cool. It was a highlight of my career working with him.
So, you know, I know we just hit on the TikTok. Tell our listeners how they can see your videos one more time, how they can keep up with you, any of your funny posts or you know, yeah, anything that you're up to.
Yeah. If you want to follow me and stuff I'm doing, TikTok is at jrtimothy.comedygenius. And Instagram is the same one, at jrtimothy.comedygenius. And those are really kind of the only apps that I use to update right now. I have a Facebook page. You can also follow me there, JR Timothy. It's just my name. I'm really easy to find. I'm so attainable right now, guys. But yeah, Instagram and TikTok, those are the apps that I have fun with right now. So those are the ones that I kind of look at, and for me, social media is just a fun place. And there are places you can do business. If you're on LinkedIn, you can find me on LinkedIn as well. Just JR Timothy, connect with me there. That's where I do all my business stuff. So nice. If you want to talk about business, you can go there. If you want to be like buddy friends, you can talk to me on Instagram and TikTok.
Sweet. Now, if you could take a ride in the Jacob Young Mr. Cool air conditioned time machine,
okay,
what advice would you give teenage JR?
Teenage JR. I would tell him to start a YouTube channel right now while you're in high school and to just make videos all the time and make what you want to make. Make what makes you happy. People talk about trends and they chase trends, and trends are good to chase. It helps build your appearance, but if you're going to be in this business, you need to do something I think that you like and that you're passionate about. Otherwise, unless someone's throwing a bunch of money at you, then maybe you can sacrifice your dreams a little bit,
yeah,
to go get the big paycheck so that you can fund the things that you want to do.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's not bad advice right there. I mean, I know there's been times where I've said, you know what, you know, I'm going to take the payday and get out there. And then ultimately I end up doing, you know, something I end up liking pretty much anyway, but I think that's really great advice, you know, not to be, have your nose artistically so stuck up that you're not willing to help feed the rest of your artistic vision. So yeah, man, that's something to take away for sure. So, Boys Town, which was established by Father Flanagan back in the day, turn of the century, they were just getting set up and they didn't have all the medical equipment and things like that. And there was one boy that, you know, they didn't have a wheelchair for and he couldn't walk. And so the boys would take turns carrying him to the football field and to class and to church. And one day Father Flanagan said, "Isn't he heavy?" And he said, "He's not heavy, Father. He's my brother." And they use that motto to this very day, meaning that in our lives, we have had, all of us at some point have had somebody help carry us. Who's carried you?
Who's carried me? You have at moments in my career. There's been a few people that have carried me going on through it. I'm gonna get real for a second. Yeah, my dad passed away when I was like 22, and it was anytime your dad passed away, it's a bad time. There's not a good time for your parents to leave you. It's bad all around. But you know, it was at a time in my life when I could have used my dad's business acumen and just like his advice about how to do things. Cause you know, he was much smarter than me as a 22-year-old about what to do. So for me, like I was always kind of like looking around for mentors, which was probably like another reason why I did comedy as a coping mechanism, just cause it made me feel better and forget about that. Cause I was making other people feel better. But there is, the first mentor I had that kind of like helped me out. His name was Jeff Rawls. He runs a theater down in Arizona. You know, he let this crazy 18-year-old on his stage doing improv comedy for the first time. And, you know, he just kept on letting me come back and working out my comedy brain there and figuring out how to do things. And I was funny, but he also like, he gave me a shot. You know, and then, let's see, there was, one of my English teachers in school. I did some writing, or English teachers in college, I say. I took a writing class. They looked at my writing. They saw a lot of potential. And, you know, it kind of, like, sparked a little thing in my head, like, oh, maybe I can write. Because before I was, like, going to school to be, like, a doctor, like, physical medical school or whatever like that. And I was like, I don't know if I want to do that, but there's money there, I guess. And then I realized, like, oh, I'll just do communications and video stuff. So him talking about my writing and kind of observing it, like, helped buoy me up. And then just other people that I've met in throughout my career, Travis Chambers at Chamber Media. He was another guy that gave me a shot, took me out to Kentucky with him. And we wrote that first Mr. Cool ad that took him to 50 million and then 100 million. Like, yeah, rest is history with that. And then even you, that one day that we spoke, I was picking you up and I don't remember which Mr. Cool ad it was, but I was dropping you off at the airport and you're like, yeah, you can do it. If you just, if you focus on it and you want to do it, like I can make some calls. I really think you got it. And I was like, yeah, yeah. Okay. I appreciate that. Then, you know, that made me feel better. And it kind of took me a year to really like work up the courage to make that jump. So, you know, those three people in my life, are people that carry me around. Anyone who kind of like gives me encouragement, that's kind of what I look at. I'm like, okay, I feel like I'm doing something right. I'm going to keep going.
Yeah. Well, man, thank you. That was beautiful. And thank you for sharing. Yeah, man, it sometimes takes a little bit of an army or a few people in our lives that constantly have our back. And it does, it helps you move forward and trust that the process, that something good will come out of it if you just take that chance. Well, JR, I want to say thank you so much for joining me today. I always look forward to working with you, and I can't wait to get to Uranus so that we can work.
I can't wait to get to Uranus either.
Together in Uranus. I think it's
going to be together in Uranus.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun little work vacation. Because I like
a workation.
A workation. Well, thanks so much, buddy.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This was fun.
That's about all the time that we have for this week. But Boys Town's toll-free national hotline, 1-800-448-3000, is a 24/7 crisis resource and referral number for kids and their parents. And they're always there to help anyone having suicidal thoughts, risking any type of self-harm, parenting problems, physical, sexual, or emotional abuse, stress, anxiety, anger problems, like, you know, school problems, like bullying, peer pressure, chemical dependency. If you're suffering with any of these issues or you just need someone to talk to, they're there for you 24/7. You don't feel like talking? You can text VOICE to 20121. Someone will get back to you immediately. Boys Town, saving children, healing families. Till next time, love each other and love yourself.